Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today I want to share a very special program with you, and I'm encouraging you to listen very carefully to the information being shared and the experiences. Last month, April, was celebrated around the world as World Autism Month, and one of the organizations hosted a seminar in Grenada. The Autism Foundation of Grenada hosted this workshop, and today I want to let you listen to the speakers, Miss Cummins from the Ministry of Education in Grenada, Miss McIntosh, and Miss Tamar, two mothers of young adults with autism. It's an extremely interesting program, and at the beginning, you will learn about the diagnosis and the signs that you can check for, and some of the experiences and what is currently being done in Grenada to support young people, children living with autism. So listen.
Hi, I'm Sarana Mitchell, and welcome to this special discussion on autism. It's World Autism Awareness Day. On today, this is April the 2nd. With me here today, before we jump into my panelists, my friends who will be discussing autism with me, I'd just like you to let you know that the theme is from surviving to thriving. Okay, and I'm wearing blue because that's the main color associated with autism. So with me here today are Special Education Officer at the Ministry of Education, who is Tonnell Cummings. Good morning, and how are you?
Good morning, I'm fine.
Parent of someone with autism, as well as she's the president of the Autistic Foundation of Grenada, Joanna Tamar. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
How was the long weekend?
It was good. Supporting the national team at Kerfta.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. And to my very far right, your left, is parent of a child with autism.
An adult
now. Well, yes. Still your child. Still your baby.
Yes.
Dawn McIntosh. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome. Yes. You know, well, you're wearing blue, light blue. You're wearing the shirt of the Autistic Foundation of Grenada. And Ms. Cummins, you're showcasing the pin associated with autism. And it's a puzzle piece. It's a talking point for me. Why a puzzle piece? Anybody?
Well, maybe you can explain the puzzle and I'll explain the colors.
Is it because autism is still a puzzle?
Yeah.
Trying to find, understand how it's that, what it is and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
So yes. That's what it is?
Yes, and also the colors represent all the different aspects of people with autism, you know, because it is a continuum, it's a condition that affects people in different ways. So, you know, it's depicted in colors, mm-hmm. So it's all different, you know, it's wide-ranging. And so it means that not every person with autism is the same.
Okay, great. Which leads us to, what is autism? The puzzle. What is it?
So to start, autism is a neurological condition. Mm-hmm. It is rooted in brain activity.
Okay.
And persons who are on the ASD spectrum, as we call it, normally have challenges in three distinct areas: speech and language, social interaction, and sensory perception. And those three areas, you can get a very wide range of manifestations. So generally, there is problem with communication. We go from totally nonverbal, some almost catatonic, to some who are high functioning. The high functioning one is called Asperger's.
Yes.
Who are very brilliant in specific things, mm-hmm. but their speech patterns still reflect those challenges that they have with communication. So once you know what to look for, if you're around them for long enough, about 15-30 seconds, mm-hmm. you can tell that they will always have these challenges.
You know, as you talk about Asperger's, it brings to mind some very famous people mm-hmm. who have admitted to having Asperger's syndrome. Mm-hmm. So, and you said ASD, just to pinpoint, is autism spectrum disorder, mm-hmm. not just autism, ASD.
Correct. And yeah. the reason why we have moved to a spectrum mm-hmm. is because there's such a wide range of manifestations, and there are people who are functioning in society mm-hmm. that are autistic unbeknownst to them themselves, and they can live mm-hmm. their entire lives uh-huh. and not know that they are autistic. But if you are aware of autism and you look at them, it becomes very evident.
Mm-hmm. So, do you diagnose people?
I have done.
But you keep it to yourself.
Yes. In some cases, you know, the parents come to me and ask me, do you think? Because our family has always done advocacy work. From the time I realized that my child was autistic, I have been involved in advocacy work. And I've been open about it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of parents are happy to come to somebody who they know will be receptive. Mm-hmm. Because most of the experience they have had is negative and they're afraid to reach mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So you're a source.
Yes.
You're a great source. What causes autism? Tonel, can you help me?
I definitely
Ms. Cummins,
can.
Sorry.
Okay, so, you know, a lot of people come and they ask, well, what caused this thing? Parents come and they're overwhelmed and they're stressed because they want to know what causes this. And I'm happy to educate the public and the parents of children with autism mm-hmm. that there is no one cause of autism. So mm-hmm. we cannot say it is this or it is that. Mm-hmm. But we have many factors that contribute mm-hmm. to autism spectrum disorder. Okay. Factors, we can categorize them. So we have environmental factors, so toxins in the environment, smoking, drinking. So if that parent, the mother smokes while she's pregnant or she drinks, that can cause the child to have autism. Okay. Then we have genetics. So you have like the paternal age of the father. So if the father is, let's say, I don't want to say old, but he's similar
in
age, yes, right? Most likely that child can come out with autism. Mm. Similarly, with the mother. If the mother is up in age, that child can also be autistic.
Okay.
So lots of people, they are very, you know, surprised when you give them that data.
Okay.
But it is other findings.
As we established earlier, it is a puzzle. It's yeah. still a puzzle. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say my experience, because I've met many people with autism, children and their parents, because mm-hmm. I was also a teacher mm-hmm. of children with special needs, many of whom had autism. So I can tell you that in a lot of cases, one of the parents might have autism.
And functioning in society.
Mm-hmm. But you know, those of us who are in the field could recognize that there are traits okay. of autism, but not in all cases, because you can have more than one child in a family being born with autism. Mm. You can have twins yeah. with autism. So you know, as Ms. Mitchell said, Ms. Cummins said, there is no one cause, mm-hmm. and people shouldn't blame themselves, you know, if they have a baby or a child with autism, because autism is not always recognizable when the child is born and is a baby, you know, as they get older, you will notice traits. So, a parent wouldn't always know that their child, there's nothing physical about children with autism.
I like to say it's a blind
disorder. Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
So it's considered a blind disorder.
Yeah, it's a blind disorder.
So what I want to find out, there's no test that they can do when the child is gestating.
No.
You know, there are lots of tests that can be done then.
No.
So you have to be born and be developing per se. Mm-hmm. And, okay, so you're a parent of a child with autism. Mm-hmm. Is it male or female?
She's female. In World War II veterans, I believe. that is when they started to observe a particular pattern of behavior that eventually was termed autism. So the science is just about 100 years. And the first 50 or so years of it, the time was spent on therapeutic treatments, therapeutic interventions. Mm-hmm. Once we know, what can we do so that this person can function better in society? But that is starting to change now. Mm-hmm. We are now getting science concentrated on causation. Mm-hmm. So one of the, well, relatively new, because it's no longer that new, is some work that is being done with MRI imagery.
Okay.
But
so they're going into the brain and look into it.
18 months, etc. Okay. So nothing that I'm aware of, because it's so rapidly changing, is possible in vitro. But it is becoming earlier and earlier. And I just wanted to share with you some signs that can cause a person interacting with a child to start wondering, I wonder if this is what I'm dealing with. No smiles or joyful expressions by age 6. No sharing of songs or smiles or other facial expressions by, 6 months. I think I said six months. Right, no sharing of smiles or songs or other facial expressions by 9 months. No babbling at 10 months. So remember I said it's a neurological condition that has three distinct markers, one of them being speech. So you look for that in a child that is growing up. So you expect these things to happen. So when you don't see them happening, you start to think, what's the long list? What could it be? No gestures such as pointing or waving by 12 months. No words at all by 16 months. No two-word meaningful phrases by 24 months. Normally they say, me hungry. You know, so two-word sentences, you can get the gist of what they're saying. No response when the child's name is called by 10 months. And a loss of speech or babbling at social skills. So some start to develop, and then they regress. And that is a sign. So this is a simple checklist that most parents would observe once they are going to child welfare clinics, because they check the developmental markers.
The stages,
so then when you don't meet your developmental markers, your pediatrician will start ruling out what it could be. And they will start with autism if these checks.
Okay, so Ms. Tima, thank you for sharing those checks. Do you have a son or a daughter who has autism?
Mine is a son.
Okay. Which of these stood out to you as a parent, and how old was he when he was diagnosed?
Let me start with what stood out to me. So his diagnosis process actually started when he was discharged from hospital for a totally unrelated thing, and I was asked to get a hearing test. And I said to the doctor, this child is not deaf, he answers the phone, but I will do it because you ask. But it is what started the ball rolling. And it took 2.5 years to come to a diagnosis. Now, we are fortunate in that he's 16. We are fortunate now that you can get a binary diagnosis. What that means is you can find out that you are on or off the scale. The tool that is administered in Grenada is called ADOS. It is an observational assessment. It normally takes sometimes between 3 and 4 hours by a trained staff. So they are interacting with the child in a prescribed manner and observing the child's reactions. And what you would find is that every autistic child or person will react in a general range of ways. And when you total up the score in the bottom, it will be able to tell you whether they're on and off the scale. Now that is locally available. To find out where exactly you are on the scale, we do not have those resources in Grenada at present. But there are a lot of advocacy groups that are now forming. Autistic Foundation of Grenada was formed in 2015, and we have a relatively new one, Advocacy Inc., I believe, that was started action just this week. So more resources are being developed. And parents now don't have to wait 2.5 years.
Okay.
Right? So you can get the ADOS diagnostic test in Grenada.
Observation.
Right. That by observation. You look at them and then a score is produced. So my son had that done in Grenada, but it started with, as I said, the hearing test, and we ruled out and we ruled out and we ruled out. We went to a speech and language therapist who said, definitely, yes, I see some things here that look like autism. And then finally he had the ADOS test, which said, yes, this is what we are dealing. But by the time I got the diagnosis, from my personal curiosity already, I had deduced that that was what I was dealing with.
So you were one of those Google Docs.
I must share with you a very strange experience.
A Google doctor.
I was fascinated by autistic advertisements on the television in England when I was doing my undergraduate studies. This is long before I had a child. Some curiosity led me to pay attention.
God was preparing you.
That is what I now testify to.
Ah.
God was exposing me to the information that I would later need in life, unbeknownst to me.
Excellent.
So when people were scared to approach me, I remember when he went to the daycare teacher, who was a family friend, was building up courage to come to tell us, and we noticed something, and we just smiled and said, yes, we know.
Well, you're handling it very well. Some people are like, nothing is wrong with my child. Yes. Nothing is wrong with my child. Mm-hmm. They are very, very defensive. They're not going to even, you know, be able to listen or to even consider that, yes, something could be wrong, so let me look into it.
It's very scary for a parent of a child when they discover their child has a special need, because society is
stigma.
Not always welcoming of children with special needs.
People with special needs.
All people with special needs, adults and children. So when some parents try to keep it and hope that that child will change, and sometimes the child gets to an age where, you know, they need to do something because the child is not talking. With some children, it's not just the autism, but it's also developmental delay.
That's
good. So, Ms. McIntosh, you know, your daughter.
Yes.
How did you handle it? How did you find out?
Well, my daughter was, again, it's a different story. That's it. They're not all the same.
Same, exactly.
My daughter was developing normally. The only thing I'd notice is that she was slower physically because she was a big child. She still is a big girl. So she wasn't as active as the other children, but she spoke in sentence at 14 months. And she was doing all the skills and developing. My daughter was born in England, so they had all the developmental checks, and she went through all of that and came out as developing within normal limits. She went to mainstream nursery, which is kindergarten here at 3. There they were saying, well, she's not. She tends to go off and play on her own, and she's not interacting with the children as much as the other children. But she was not talking as much. But then at home, she was talking. So we were having conversations at home. And then as time went by, in comparison to the other mainstream school children, she was delayed in her development.
Okay.
So it's not just the autism, but there was delayed development, delayed coordination skills, delayed gross motor skills. You know, her pencil skills were delayed. So it's not just the autism. So you have people who are functioning, or children who are functioning cognitively at normal limits, but you have also children who are delayed in their development and they have autism. So both have autism. One is functioning cognitively and can navigate the world out there in a, you know, sort of way, but one has delayed development. My daughter has delayed development,
as well as
autism. She's in her 30s.
So
she's in her 30s.
On a spectrum, is she able to live by herself? Is she what?
No, she needs supervision.
Okay.
She can do lots for herself, but she also needs supervision.
Okay.
And so she's not an independent adult. Okay. I wouldn't say she's an independent adult yet. So this is one of the things that I notice, that here, once the children have, in Grenada, once they've left school, there isn't very much for them to do if they are still needing education. Just because you're an adult, even if you're a mainstream adult, that doesn't mean that your education stops. Likewise, a person with autism and delayed development, when they get to adult age, they still need to continue with their education, with their reading, with their living skills, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So we have an issue here when
continued education.
We need places that these adults can go and continue their education, as well as push them towards independence and a thriving.
That's what I mean, from surviving to thriving. Because many of them are now just surviving.
Yeah, yeah. You know? They're stuck at home with their parents. Mm-hmm. I mean, luckily, I'm from that background of education, so I've sourced some activities for my daughter to do here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are young people at home or young adults at home with their parents.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah, so, what are some of the programs mm-hmm. and supports you used? You know, you say there is the observation here in Grenada. Mm-hmm. You're saying that you're able to source help from outside so that your daughter can continue learning. Mm-hmm. But other than that, what else is there in Grenada to help people with autism from childhood? You know, what does the Ministry of Education offer? Mm-hmm. Ms. Cummins.
Okay, my role as a special education officer is that we do educational intervention. Mm-hmm. So we don't really do medical diagnosis from the ministry's point, and there's a difference. Mm-hmm. So we go to the schools, and as Ms. Indicated, it's a lot of observation. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to add that not because a child has a temper tantrum, it means that they have autism. The behavior has to be consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I always tell parents that when I have sessions with them, you have to monitor the behaviors, and it has to be over a period of time. Mm-hmm. Right? Not because a child decides he wants to play alone for 2 days, it does not mean that they have autism. We love to go wrong mm-hmm. and diagnose all our own children and other children as well. Mm-hmm. So we have to be mindful of that. So what we do as officers, we go to the classes and we just do observations. So we operate like non-participant observers. We have no interaction with the class teacher initially and the child.
Okay.
We record what we see. Mm-hmm. We go back. What we do sometimes, we look at them in the playground because that's where they are the most natural self. Mm-hmm. Then it may occur that we may have to visit the home because the home is where the natural environment is. Mm-hmm. And then we compile a comprehensive report.
Okay.
So that's what we do as officers. But as I said, it's more like an educational intervention. Mm-hmm. It's not a medical diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. So what is tailored for that child now?
Right, excellent. So once we write up that comprehensive report, which entails, family history and all of that of the child, mm-hmm. What the mother did before pregnancy, during, and after, mm-hmm. because that too affects the report and the results. We do up the recommendations and we communicate that to the parents and the principal and the class teachers, sometimes the child, of course. So we have a team of persons communicating that information.
Okay.
So the teacher now in the class, because from the ministry's end, that's what we do. We deal with the class teachers mm-hmm. and the schools. We're talking inclusion. So we're not going to write something and say they have to be moved to special ed mm-hmm. because some of them are very functional. Right?
Excellent.
I just want to add also that a lot of children with autism, they has some other condition that co-occurs mm-hmm. with the autism.
Yes, that was pointed out earlier.
Yes, so they may have like ADHD, they may have a speech problem. Mm-hmm. There's always some other condition, mm-hmm. right? But we always tend to treat the main condition, which is autism. Mm. We tend to treat that. So when we recommend to the class teachers, this is what we notice. Here is what you should do or you can do to accommodate the child.
Okay.
After you accommodate the child, then you're going to include that child within your lessons. because we don't just want them to just give them a toy and have them in the corner and the lesson is going on. We want them to include them.
Because that, in essence, is basically making them a special child.
Yes.
Everybody's like, you're in the corner, you know.
So we don't want you using the teacher assistant, or what we term Imani. Mm-hmm. We don't want you just using them and have them on a table with the child. Mm-hmm. And your circle time is going on. Pull them in the circle. Even if they're not paying attention, sometimes they don't look, but they're listening. And they have their toy manipulating. We just want them to be included, because they too have value to offer in the classroom.
To move from surviving to thriving.
Yes, so that is what we do from the ministry's end in terms of assistance.
Okay, great.
So
I wanted to ask you, yeah? Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and say what you're going
to
say.
So I can speak to how my family has been a recipient of the Ministry of Education.
Okay.
So my son went to general education, though it's a private school, and in his first year of school admission at 3, he was retained. And what happened in the second year is his teachers voluntarily went to a program called Early Childhood Intervention Program, which was at the time run by the Grandin's Playgroup, which was an organization catering for play and daycare for SU staff. Mm-hmm. It so happens that the current treasurer and past secretary and initial founder of AFG is that same person. So always had that skill set. Mm-hmm. So the teachers went and learned themselves. They volunteered for training, and the program works with one-to-one. So they were his therapeutic attendants at the program. It was only 3 hours a month, once a month. That's how the program started. Mm-hmm. But they put themselves in the way of gaining the education. He was in general ed up until mid-school, when the gap started to get too wide. So at about kindergarten 2, we got an Imani, who had significant training from TAMCC in psychology and sociology. Mm-hmm. But her personality was such that what she didn't know, she taught herself.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Fantastic.
And then the ministry supplied resources by monitoring that person and the class teacher's progress. Mm-hmm. So Tanya Hyacinth is a speech and language therapist. She also is on the board of AFG. So what would happen is that the Ministry of Education, through that individual, worked to see how what was being done was being followed, if it was being successful, what had to be changed. Chores was very instrumental. So Chores used to visit Grenada twice a year.
Oh yes, I've heard.
And what you would find happening is Chores would send the same people, so they would see the patient developing. Mm. And they would say, since last we came, we gave you this to do, etc. What have you been doing? So that whole sort of informal file followed the child through education. By the time he got to middle school, the gap was too wide, so he could not stay in the general ed. So he was pulled out into a specialist class with 3 other autistic children, but of varying levels of communication, sensory problems, and social interaction. Mm-hmm. They had a specialist special ed teacher, and she worked with them. And they were incorporated back into the classroom when the timetable would allow. So my son always ate brick with his class. He did art with his class. He went on field trips with them. Mm-hmm. So he did social studies when it was possible. He went back into the classroom with his class. So, and there are benefits for the general ed population as well. And this is something that I really want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
The general ed students were so caring to my son that there is only one group of people who I can close my eyes and comfortably send my son with, and those are his classmates. Mm. They're not in the same school today. But when they see him, that bond continues. And remember, my son is nonverbal. So you can tell from his interaction with them that he remembers them. He remembers how they treated him. And those students, in turn, have developed the skill for being perceptive to when people have differences and how to accommodate them. And that will last through their lifetime.
And that is where change starts, in the school at a very young age. Yeah. You know, you said he's 16 years old now. Yeah. He's nonverbal. What does he do now? How do you assist him? What are you doing?
So he's now transitioned to the Grenada School for Special Education.
Okay.
All right. And he has found his ingenious ways of communicating with you. If you spend 30 seconds with him and he's hungry, he will communicate to you what he would like to eat. He will physically take your hand and bring it to what he wants. Mm-hmm. He will come with all the components of what he wants. And he's very task-oriented if he realizes that you know don't get what he wants. He will stick with you until you go through the process of elimination, until you come up with what he wants. Mm-hmm. All right? And I must say that our success as a family mm-hmm. has been because we have a network of success. And that network of success is school, friends, family, relatives, church, schools, affiliated groups. Mm-hmm. All right.
Do you have any other children, both of you, because both of you have children with autism. Do you have it first, you Miss Tamar, do you yes. have any other children?
I have 5 children in total. My wow. son is the second of 5. So he's got an older sibling and he has 3 younger siblings.
Thank you for listening to Visions Today, a very special program focusing on autism, as we heard about the experiences and the work being done in Grenada on this subject matter. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And you can go on VOB929.com website and look for the Visions podcast and listen to this and past episodes. So until next week, love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Until then, ciao.